Hey, great day, and welcome back to the podcast. And so this is an epic celebration. We are in season two of this podcast. And so I'm super excited to introduce season two. We are going to be talking about how can you be more highly qualified to get the life, the business, and the career that you desire. And so what you will notice is that some episodes may have some homework activities. Some of them will feel like we're being Wi-Fi BFFs. And I'm going to really talk to you about how you can show up as the best version of yourself. You may also hear me talk about the words lesson and podcast episode interchangeably, primarily because I see this season two more as a podcast course that will walk you through a journey. But I'm really excited for season two. I hope that you are as well. So let's go ahead and get into today's podcast episode. Hey, my name is Dr. TK, and on this podcast show, we will uncover abundant tools to help you become the CEO of your business and your life. I am a mom and wife who merged my knowledge as a clinical psychologist and professor for over 20 years into building a multi-six-figure mental health business and seven-figure digital product business, serving others and doing what I love. Now, I believe that you can make a wildly abundant living unapologetically while also dreaming big, enjoying life, and making a huge impact in your community. This is the Therapists Deserve Abundance podcast. This is Dr. TK, your guide and mentor. And in today's lesson, we are going to be talking about how it is your turn. And so the goal of this lesson is putting yourself first and being able to make room and allow the next version of yourself to emerge, to come to the forefront, and of course, to become more highly qualified. So I would highly recommend, if you don't already, have a pen and paper, either make sure that you come back and re-listen to this episode and maybe just listen to it for the first time to consume the information, because it's going to be really, really good. It's definitely going to make you think. And if you have not been exposed to me in any other realm, I am all about taking fast action. And so the way that this program works is that if I give you any type of fast action activities, the instructions will always be located in the show notes. Sometimes the questions or journal prompts or reflections, as we'll talk about in today's lesson, some of those will just outright be written in bullet style in the show notes, because again, I just want to remove any type of barriers that will require you to download more than what needs to be downloaded. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into it. So I'm going to be introducing or maybe reintroducing and defining some key concepts, because I know before we get into the nitty-gritty of this program, I want to dispel any disbeliefs about imposter syndrome, perfectionism, and of course, understanding who your higher self is, because I know these things are going to come up in the program as I pull in the manifesting parts of myself to help you glow up, blow up, and dream big. And so let's just tackle them right now and let's get really, really connected to who you want to become. So number one, let's talk about imposter syndrome. So I'm also about like making things very, very simplistic, okay? So when you think about imposter syndrome, an easy way to define it is it's like feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you don't belong or you don't deserve, even though another side of you probably knows that you do. So one of the biggest issues, or I'm going to call it a block from becoming the best version of you and becoming that highly qualified, maybe version of you that you put on your vision board, is that imposter syndrome does stop you from pursuing your goals simply because you don't think that you're supposed to be there. You don't think that you deserve it. You don't think that it is for you, right? Deep, deep inside, even though there's probably a percentage of yourself that still wants it and you know that you would enjoy it, but the large portion of you is in this battle of this, who am I to have these things? So let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. How can you get rid of it? And so first things first, you want to ask yourself, what are you feeling an imposter of? Where does this experience come from? Do you have a fear of something when you visualize or try on the thing, for example, that you're trying to manifest, whether it is tangible, like money, a life experience, travel, something in your business, you know, yearly or annual revenue, a partner, a baby, a home, whatever it is, right? I want you to visualize trying it on. Do you have a sense of anxiety or fear around that thing feeling good to you? Do you actually want the thing? Because sometimes what tends to happen is that we fall into an anxiety state, but we are holding anxiety for a thing that we don't actually even want. But other people around us have either told us that that's what we should be working toward, or we have then created a narrative over our lifetime, potentially because of people around you and your environmental state, that you're supposed to do this. You have to do this, maybe in order to get the next thing, right? So that is not normal. Living in a state of fear is not normal because it paralyzes you. But here's the thing, the fear will not go away. Now, it may decrease over time, but check this out, only after you have started the thing in which you feel fear about. Okay, so what can this look like? If you have a fear of flying, right? If I use my psychological background, I would say, okay, maybe we do a step process and maybe we just talk about flying. What is your anxiety? The next week I see you, we're going to do some visualization about you going to the airport and you're about to get on the flight. The next phase may be you're getting on the flight, you're sitting there still in a visualization with me, but you know you got a trip coming up. That's probably why you started therapy, right? So the next thing will be, okay, let's watch some movies of people being on a fun flight. We ain't gonna watch no crazy movies, right? But of course, the next thing would be you actually getting on the flight. And what I'm gonna ask you to do is visualize all of those things that we did in the office in which you knew that your flight was fine. You knew that your flight was safe. You had a great flight. Why? Because you're solely also focused on the destination. So again, when you think about fear and you feeling like you don't deserve something, I want you to keep the end goal in mind. Because what could happen over time if you truly, truly want to get rid of imposter syndrome is that you have to do things scared and you have to keep doing it over and over again to train your subconscious mind so that the thing will slowly start to dissipate. Because why? You will start to get actual proof that what you thought was not for you is actually made for you. And if it's not made for you, you will not feel aligned anyway. So then you will go in another direction. So what am I saying? Do it scared. The fear is going to go away when you start doing the thing. Okay. So number two is perfectionism. These things are like Mary. These go hand in hand. So this is a quote that I heard in so many words. It is better done than not started at all. Think about that. It is better done, I'm going to say taking messy action, than not started at all. Meaning you're paralyzed in your thoughts. You're paralyzed in making lists and making a plan about doing it, but you never do the thing. You never go get the thing. You never go make the thing work for you, right? So the definition to its core of perfectionism is to start something new or start something again. Once you're doing it scared, you are going to review it. And if it's aligned with you, you're going to do it over and over again until it reaches, quote unquote, the capacity of perfection. And I do air quotes because most of the time, if you notice when you reach a goal, there's always another goal, right? It's like the evolution of a human being, okay? So you have to get out there and do it and make small tweaks every single time you do it. And over time, it will start to look like what you visualize if that picture didn't even change, right? So think about it this way. If everything needed to be perfect, I believe wholeheartedly that your life would be very boring, okay? If everything had to be perfect and all the way put together, you wouldn't even be able to experience a breakthrough. Why? Because you will be able to predict what's going to happen. Like, what fun is that? You know, if life were perfect, you don't even have the possibility, if you own a business, to solve other people's problems. Because there are no problems to solve when everything is perfect. So you want to be very mindful of wanting to strive for perfectionism in various areas of your life. I'm going to say especially business, not career, but actually your business. Because you are in the business of solving other people's problems. So think about it. If there are no problems to solve because everything around you is perfect, you wouldn't even have a business. And better yet, if we just look at it from a job's perspective, the job doesn't need employees because there are no problems to solve in which they need to send their soldiers out there to fix. So if you continue to focus on things being perfect, it can lead to never starting, of course, having a whole lot of unfinished projects, or you may be paralyzed in a state of fear because of your visualization of potential failure. Now, let me go ahead and knock this out the park right now. This is just a bonus under perfectionism. Failure is man-made. Failure is in your mindset. Failure is only something that could happen if you experience something, take a risk, do the thing, and then learn a lesson. But failure is you're choosing not to learn the lesson. So a successful person will go through obstacles and say, this is what I learned about myself. This is what I learned about the situation. And this is the decision that I'm going to make moving forward. Failure is I tried it once. It didn't work, or it didn't work the way that I wanted to on my third try. So instead of making a small tweak, or better yet, going to find some coaching or mentorship about how to make that thing better because you're not the expertise in that one particular area, you will choose to throw the whole thing away, which is known as an unfinished project, and just move on to the next thing. When you look back, you recognize there's a whole lot of unfinished projects. So again, just like, you know, imposter syndrome, you have to do it scared anyway. Okay. Number three, lastly, is ego versus true self. So I'm going to use my psychological background to do some, you know, education around the id, ego, and superego, and then how in nowadays the terminology that's applied, but it means the same thing. So when you think about an id, these are the three different structures of how we develop our personality. And this all came from Sigmund Freud, the OG in psychology. And of course, people who came after him just evolved the theory. But this guy was on to something. He pioneered something great, right? So we had to study it in psychology for a reason, because this is where things started. So think about the id as a baby. This is part of our personality. This is how we show up, and this is how we make decisions to be better, right? So, you know, there are some adults that allow the id version of them, meaning you always got to get your needs met. You have a temper tantrum. If you're not fed on time, if things don't happen on time, it's inside all of us. But I hope that it doesn't compromise like the whole self, right? Just be mindful that the id used to exist, or for some of us, it still does. It's typically in babies. Right? When you think about the ego's goal is to keep you safe most times, if not all the time. Think about an ego as like your younger self. New things may actually, for some kids, cause anxiety or fear from time to time. The ego is there to make sure that they please other people. So how does this translate as an adult? This part of our personality structure actually cares a lot, and sometimes too much, about what other people think. Now think about how all these terms come together: imposter syndrome, perfectionism. If we stay in the mindset of the ego and we're only focused on, because the ego plays a significant role in our safety, right? But to a degree, it can paralyze us, because if we're always focused on what other people think about us, we will then not start things and then develop imposter syndrome, because we want everything to be perfect and we don't think that we're able to create a beautified outcome like we see in our heads. Like, who am I? Right? So you can see how all of these terms work together. So the ego cares a lot about what other people think, and they want to maintain a certain image. This actually reminds me of, you know, treating kids when I was working in schools. And I remember one little boy in particular, when I read his chart, it was like he was resistant, he was aggressive, he was angry. And I'm a real big component of hearing it from the horse's mouth. It doesn't mean that I will not assess for those things to be present, but I'm not going to go in there looking for them. And what I found over time is that the kid was understood. However, when it was time for me to wrap up our year of counseling, because my internship was over, he started to show some of the anger. But because we were doing indirect play therapy, he was able to express it through the character. And what I had asked him when it was just me and him talking beyond the character is I said, hey, I noticed that this is the way you've been on particular days that I've seen you. But then I also know that you've presented, at least in the character of the toy, in this particular way. And the kid was like, yeah, because I don't want to show that side of me to you. And I'm like, why is that? And he felt safe with me at the time. But think about it. I'm talking to like a younger version of you, right? So he was like, I don't want anybody to see that side of me. And I'm like, well, tell me more, you know, in kid words. And he was like, because then you won't like me anymore. This is the narrative at 10 that he's been taught. If I show that I'm angry, of course, we need to teach him what to do with his anger. He can't be like hitting things, right? But I felt in that moment that it was my duty, my obligation to help him reframe even the definition of anger. Anger is not bad. It's a human emotion. What makes anger, you know, turned off by some people is what you choose to do with your anger, which meant that maybe someone didn't sit down and teach him any coping skills because they just saw him for what it is. Think about your childhood. If we could do a little therapy through this lesson, right? So because human beings have a natural tendency to want to be liked by other people, sometimes someone will put down their boundary and even be taken advantage of. I don't want to open up anybody's Pandora box, but I'm sure that you may be twirling your wheels. Your wheels may be spinning like, oh my gosh, you didn't just become an adult and all of a sudden you have imposter syndrome. These things have been embedded in you throughout your entire life, but maybe personal development, things like this program, are highlighting words and defining them, and now everything is clicking. Like the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. The whole goal, even in my psychological realm, is to just simply first help people understand how they became the person that they are today. And that's my goal for you as well. But then we're gonna go beyond that, right? So then let's talk about the true self, the superego, the higher self. The higher self is the real you, waiting on you to step into that identity, right? To your higher level passions, allowing yourself to be vulnerable and learn from what's going on with you inside and around you. And honestly, your higher self has been waiting to explode in a very good way. It's ready to blow up your life in a very good way. But my question for you is, are you allowing the ego to take over too much space and then it prevents you from accomplishing your dreams of the higher self? So let me just say this. The ego has its role. Its role is, again, to keep you safe. But the main distinguisher you want to identify when you're in a situation, maybe you have to make a decision and you're experiencing some maybe anxiety or fear, the way you could distinguish if it's the ego or the higher self, if you've been all on board for doing this thing, and all of a sudden, when it's time to put your credit card in the box, say yes to the marriage proposal, whatever the thing is, right? Open up another stream of income in your business, take on a new role at your job with a promotion. You're very excited. When it's time to say yes, or go through with the thing, if you have a all of a sudden feeling, oh, no, you shouldn't do it. Red flag. But you ain't seen no red flags this whole time. You may want to take a step back, check your ego, and honestly have a conversation with your ego like it is the child version of you. My hope is that you're not using profanity and yelling at a child. You're talking to the child in a very calm, mindful voice tone to help them hear you, right? So you want to distinguish when you're making huge decisions that will make you more highly qualified with whatever you do well. You want to make sure that you're coming from the higher self version of you. Because again, if you allow your ego to take over, it will prevent you from accomplishing all of your dreams directly correlated to you stepping into your higher self. Okay. So your activity for stepping into the next version of yourself. Again, all of these questions, prompts are written in the show notes. So first, get a pen and sheet of paper or your iPad, your computer, and I want you to take a moment, no distractions. I want you to decide what the higher self version of you actually looks like. So a way to do that is look at that person's traits, characteristics, behaviors. What does their life look like? Try on their life. Sit down, close your eyes if you need to. What is a day in the life or a week in the life of their life looks like? Start from the top of the morning. Literally script out. What time do they wake up? Monday through Friday. I know it could change. What wakes them up? Sunshine? Birds chirping? Does their diffuser go off? Do they go straight in the shower? Do they give themselves a nice facial? What do they do? Do they go work out in the morning? Do they take a walk? Do they go wake up their children for school and then they work out later? What do they do? Walk through a day in the life. And you may, if you're a visual person, you may need to visualize this first and then write it down. Something else to consider is, what is the one thing that you right now, the version of you today, what is one thing or more that you are already doing like the higher version of yourself? That's why you got to do number one first. So you're going to list all those things out, and then you're going to look at your current life and say, what am I already doing that is aligned with the higher version of me? And I'll give you an example of what this will look like, culminating like all of these three questions, right? The third question, and lastly, is, what is one thing, one, that you can do right now that will be a shift, but it doesn't have to be a big, big change all of a sudden. You can compound it over time when you're consistent. What is one thing that you can do right now that aligns with a characteristic, a trait, a behavior, or a day in the life? Like one thing that they do in the day in the life that will get you 1% closer to your higher self. Because here's the thing. A lot of human beings do a vision board or visualize what they want next in life, and they want it to happen fast. And if it doesn't happen in the timeline that they set out, they failed. It doesn't work. It's not for me. Now I got imposter syndrome, right? So here's what it all can look like together. If I look at myself, the higher version of myself has taken on the mindset that my body is my temple. Her body is her temple. If she, like in third person, if she does not take care of her body, her mind won't work right. If her mind and energy doesn't work right, she can't give to the collective, her community, you, right? So what am I doing right now that's already aligned with my higher self? When I visualize my higher self, I work out. I actually personally enjoy working out. That's not everybody's flavor, right? So I already work out. I prefer lifting weights. So that's already aligned. So I can say, okay, check mark, already do that. However, food, I'm not that aligned. Meaning, I should be more consistent with how I choose to eat so that I can actually see the results of the going to the gym. I don't see the results that I like. I have energy, but in terms of the formation of my body, the shape, I have something that I'm working toward. So this is what the number three can look like. The one thing that I'm already doing, again, is I'm going to the gym. The one thing that I can do right now that is like even just 1% of getting closer with better nutrition is I'm going to choose something that I want to focus on that's not a huge, huge shift. And for me, it would be water intake. So I may say, okay, how much water do I need to drink to feel alert, energized, not dehydrated, you know? And most people may say 50% of your body weight. So I'll write that down. I'll get a cool cup, decide if I want cold water or room temperature water. I like it actually in the middle, too cold. I got sensitive teeth, so I'm like, nope. And so I like it just in the middle. I will choose a cup that also makes it easier for me to consume the water. If I see one of those big jugs, I'm not probably going to finish it. But if I have like a Starbucks, a Venti or Trenti cup that you buy online or in the store, or if I have one of those like Stanley, quote unquote, Target cups, those can be 32 ounces. And so if I need to drink two or three of those, that's a lot easier to consume versus me looking at a gallon and knowing that I have to drink all of it or at least half of it, right? So my goal is to be 1% better every single day. So I may say in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to add another thing. This is what's called habit stacking. In the next 2 weeks, after I get used to this, developing a new habit, maybe the next habit I choose is to stretch, because maybe I don't stretch like I should before and after a workout. So I may then add that. And then once that becomes a habit, I hope you see where I'm going here, I add another one. So head down to the show notes, take some time over the next week, journal out your higher self, one thing that you're already doing so that you can honestly feel accomplished. And you may be doing more than one thing, write them all down. And then lastly is write one thing that you can start right now. All right, so that wraps up how to become a better version of you, because it is your turn to become highly qualified. Have a great day. Bye. Fire me up. You just finished another epic episode of the Therapists Deserve Abundance podcast. Now, I know what you're thinking. That flew by way too fast. So if you want more, please head down to the show notes for additional abundant resources. And if you're looking for a new tribe of abundant therapists just like yourself to connect with me on Instagram at Dr. TK Psych. Until the next episode, live abundantly.